broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61, featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Good afternoon and welcome to Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer at Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. We have a very exciting show for you today, and we're going to jump right in. But first, I want to take a half a minute to introduce the producer of the show, Mr. Kevin Finn. Kevin is a master at the control board and is also a very accomplished host doing many shows here on Business Radio X. Kevin, I enjoyed being with you Monday night at the Ritz-Carlton Buckhead for the Atlanta CEO Council meeting. That was a lot of fun.
I know. That was a lot of fun. I got to try on some Google glasses, get to see some new technology, and I see you twice this week, so that's a plus.
Can't beat that. Professor Thad Starner from Georgia Tech with the Google Glass, but also the wearable glove that he's working with Shepherd Spinal Clinic. That was amazing technology.
That was, and to think it spurned from the idea of learning how to play a piano song just without doing anything, and it turned into something that can help people that are partly paralyzed.
A lot of great things are happening at Georgia Tech. Fantastic institution. Our goal for Booth 61 is to build community. We want to allow the rising tide to lift all the boats. And my guests today are doing that in their daily work life, and in their over and above life with what they're doing for the community. Today I'm very thrilled to have as my guest Mr. Alan Stokalski, who is the Managing Director and CIO at Randstad. Also Mr. Lee Crump, who is the CIO and Group Vice President at Rollins. And also Ms. Tracy Crump. And if you think that's kind of ironic, it is. They are married. This is in 29 shows. I now have my first married couple on, who are both successful executives in the Atlanta community. Tracy is Executive Director of GCLA. Alan is a local, he actually came out of Miami, but then came to Atlanta, attended Emory University and Georgia Tech at the same time, getting degrees, I think, in 95 and then 96 from those two fine institutions. He was also CIO of the Year finalist for 2013 this year, and we're going to talk a lot more about that later. Lee is actually the Global CIO of the Year for 2012, last year, and he'll have to give up his crown on the 1st of November. Tracy is no stranger to this booth, having been on our second show talking about GCLA, and I'm so delighted she's come back to talk about the exciting GCLA annual event coming up on November 1st. Tracy has an extensive corporate background, having been a senior leader at ServiceMaster, Terminix, and AT&T, before dedicating her life to the not-for-profit world with the Girl Scouts in Memphis, Atlanta, and now at GCLA. Welcome to Booth 61, Alan, Lee, and Tracy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ricky.
Well, it's glad to have you. I want to begin this by maybe asking a series of questions to each of you, and then, kind of maybe get some general background information, and then we're going to dig deeper into each of you individually. At any point, if you want to ask me a question or ask each other questions, we'll make this a round robin, very, very casual and informal. But to begin our time, why don't you share with the audience maybe a couple of minutes of your personal background, kind of what's going on with you, and how you got to Atlanta. And as always, us gentlemen, we're always going to do ladies first. So we'll start with Tracy and move to Lee and then Alan.
All right. Thanks, Ricky. I would love to talk about how we came to Atlanta. Actually, we moved here 4 years ago, and I have to say that it was Lee had received a job offer here with Rollins, and it was also a fabulous place for me with my IT background and my nonprofit background, a great opportunity for me to be here in Atlanta. We came from Memphis, which is my hometown, so full disclosure, I love it, but also I really, really love Atlanta. And I will say, too, it's been a great opportunity for our youngest daughter who was entering high school. And it's been wonderful, too, to see the difference between my older daughter, who has a Tennessee education, and now Haley, who's coming up in Georgia. And in fact, I'd love for her to go to Georgia Tech or Emory, either one. She's a senior in high school. But that's what brought us to Atlanta.
That's great. Thank you very much. Lee?
Well, this is my third trip to Atlanta, and I spent 2 years here in the late 70s and got transferred back to upstate New York, where I'm originally from. And couldn't stay away. I came back for 10 years before I moved to Memphis to take a job with Rollins' largest competitor today, Terminix, which was headquartered there. And that's actually where I met Tracy before I dragged her back to Atlanta.
Can't beat that. Alan?
And this is Alan, and I've actually been in Atlanta now for over 20 years. As you mentioned, Ricky, I moved here when I came to college at Emory and Georgia Tech. But my past history goes back all the way to Argentina. I grew up in Argentina till I was 9, and my family moved to Miami, then followed that path to Atlanta for college. I've been with Randstad now, what I like to say, on and off for about 10 years. I took a 3-year hiatus there for where I was CIO for Church's Chicken, and now have been with Randstad for 4.
I think I met you once when I was out visiting Larry Clark, and I think I met a lot of the senior leadership. And but anyway, it's glad to have you back in Atlanta, and you're doing great stuff out there. There's no question about it. Well, we know how you got to Atlanta. I want to ask you each a separate question. What makes Atlanta a great city for the technology community? And we'll back around and start with Alan and work our way around again.
Atlanta every year just becomes a bigger hub for technology and large corporate organizations. I feel I see new startups starting up every day, and Atlanta becoming even more of a city of innovation than it has in the past. And with all of the corporate headquarters that you hear about in the press moving here, there's just more and more technology staff and individuals moving here that really make it a great IT city.
I agree, and I think the educational system here, the colleges, are a great base for technology. I think the other thing, if we go back a few more years, Atlanta being kind of the New York City of the South and the prevalence of all of the telephony companies and the networking and the ability to put large data centers or Fortune 500 headquarters here. And it has just continued to grow. I think the IT community in Atlanta, having lived in a lot of different parts of the country, I've never seen an IT community that is so close together, so sharing, and gets together as frequently and as often as it does in Atlanta.
Tracy?
I'd have to say ditto both to Alan and to Lee, and also just to put a really fine point on it, and it's one of the things I know is coming here as a newcomer a few years ago. I was very pleasantly surprised. This is the warmest, most welcoming community that I have, and I've lived in a few different places, and it is wonderful. And I think that's what underpins all that y'all said, too, about the education, the infrastructure, and the community. But this is a group of people that when you're new, they're going to bring you in and ensure that you're successful.
As an Atlanta native born in Crawford Long Hospital a long, long time ago, that makes my heart go pitter-patter. not very many people know this, but I'll give you a little trivia right now. WSB Radio, WSB Television was created in the newspaper even earlier than that, all owned by the Cox family. But what does WSB stand for? Welcome South, brother. You don't believe that, but I promise you, Google it and you'll find out it to be true. We in the South want to be welcoming, and we're glad that all of you are here and everyone that's come in. It's very hard to find an Atlanta native anymore, but the fact that you've come here and found a home, and having spent time in the hospitality industry and marketing and what have you, I hear that in every industry, that it's a very warm place. And so anyway, and I think that kind of brings us to talk about GCLA. And Tracy, I want to maybe spend a few minutes with you one-on-one talking about what is GCLA, because we've got an award winner and an award finalist. So kind of talk about what GCLA is all about, and then let's talk a little bit about the big event coming up in November.
I would love to. I love to talk about GCLA and the CIO of the Year Awards. GCLA is the Georgia CIO Leadership Association, and both Alan and Lee are members, by the way. But what GCLA is, and in fact, community, again, we just talked about that in our earlier discussion, and this is exactly what GCLA is. It's a nonprofit, non-commercial, professional association or community for top senior technology leaders of the top organizations, the largest organizations in Georgia. All of our members are either CIO or equivalent title of organizations who have $100 million and above in annual revenue. So some of our members are Randstad, Rollins, Cancer Society, Coke, NCR, just you name it, the top companies here in the state of Georgia. And what GCLA does is this is a place where the CIOs come together in an organization that is their association. It's by them, for them, of them, but it's also where they come together for connection, collaboration, just sharing ideas, whether it's in a formal program or just a place to come together over lunch or cocktails and share and collaborate on their best practices. And this is GCLA's place for them. And also, it's frankly, I think, the only organization like this in the country right now, which again speaks to that Atlanta technology community, that they've built an organization for themselves.
But to go back to the very beginning, I've known Frank Bell. I want to give a shout-out to Frank Bell, who does not like to take any credit, and I begged him to be on the show today. But Frank would rather accomplish something than talk about it, perhaps, or whatever. But anyway, I love Frank, and I thought when he first started talking about this, it was just it was a wild idea, and he brought it to fruition, and the community jumped on the bandwagon. It's always been about CIOs for CIOs, but Frank has to be given a lot of credit for having kind of the thought process to begin this in the very beginning, and that was how long ago?
10 years, and I'm glad you brought Frank up because Frank is the founder of GCLA. He is certainly the visionary that brought this to Georgia, and it started 10 years ago. This is our 10th anniversary.
Now, how long have we been doing the CIO of the Year Awards?
Well, this is our 15th anniversary, and Frank also started the CIO of the Year Awards. In fact, GCLA and the awards are underwritten by IntelliNet, IBM, Microsoft, Deloitte, and Morris Manning and Martin. And so our awards are 15 years this year, and we have an incredible celebration planned on Friday morning, November 1st, to celebrate our 15th anniversary.
Well, tell me a little bit more about that. What's going to happen on November the 1st, Tracy?
It is going to be a can't-miss event. First and foremost, of course, too, we are going to, and as we mentioned, Alan is a finalist for CIO of the Year. We are going to recognize and celebrate and honor this year's finalist, announce this year's winners for CIO of the Year, as well as honor our prior winners and our Lifetime Achievement Award winners. So on Friday morning, November 1st, like I said, it's about recognizing the CIOs, and we also have a really cool keynote this year. Tim Campos, the CIO of Facebook, will be our keynote, and this is going to be, there will be over 1,000 people there at the Cobb Galleria. It's going to be, you will definitely want to be there if you're in the technology community of Georgia.
Tim Campos, CIO of Facebook, wow. I mean, how did you pull that off? I mean, that's... He just doesn't come to an event like this just at the drop of a hat.
Well, this is, we just talked about how cool Georgia is. Of course, he
no
does
question.
Want to be here, but this is also a testimony to the community of CIOs. Rob Kane, one of our board members and CIO, one of the CIOs with Coca-Cola, is friends with Tim. And, of course, Facebook and Coca-Cola have a very strong relationship. I think they are always vying. Coke is with Lady Gaga for number one and number two for Facebook. And so they are bringing in Tim for us for our keynote.
That is tremendous and so very exciting. Talk a little bit about the awards. I think there's 4 or 5 categories worth of awards going to be given away that morning.
Yes, there are. In fact, there are 4 categories, and they are the global, enterprise, corporate, and nonprofit. And for each of those, what that means is with those CIOs, and it's based on employee size and also the scope of the business as well as the nonprofit arena, there are 5 finalists for each of those categories, and they will be recognized that morning as well as the winner announced. We also are in our 4th year of a Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And this year, John Cyril, formerly with GE and now with CD&R, is our announced Lifetime Achievement Award winner for this year.
Well, having followed this and been around for, I guess, all 15 years in one capacity or another, just the names of the people nominated are a who's who of our technology community over the last 15 years. But just being nominated, because we've got a lot of CIOs in our community, is just a tremendous honor. And in a moment, we're going to be talking a little bit more to Alan about that as a finalist and also Lee as an award winner. But talk to me a little bit about the process of being nominated and how many folks that consist of, and then how difficult it is to become a finalist, because I just think that's, you know, having seen the inside of the workings, I just think it's amazing. I think the audience would love to hear that.
Okay, good, and I'd love to talk about it. Thanks. This is, by the way, we had a record-setting year this year for nominations, and we had over 125 folks nominated. The CIOs are nominated from the community. It could be someone with whom they work. It could be another CIO. It could be someone with whom they do business, or even just someone that they work with in the community on the in their giving. And from those nominees, and it is a very, very rigorous, difficult process for them, and I'm sure that Alan and Lee will attest to this in a few minutes, but it is, they are then judged by a distinguished panel of judges who are who either are CIOs and are also prior winners, and also distinguished academics in the field from Georgia Tech and Georgia State and here the community in the Georgia area, they are selected to become a finalist and then a winner. And one thing that's really key about this, as I said, is it's a very rigorous, difficult process, but that is because this award is about honoring their leadership, their business value creation, their achievements and innovation. It's not about popularity. It's not about how much they spend. It's by a jury of their peers about who thinks they are truly the top for CIOs this year.
So you don't even use the clout score?
No.
It's actually real, in other words.
Yes, Ricky, exactly.
If they used the clout score, I wouldn't be here.
I would attest to the rigor and thoroughness of the process, from video interviews to questionnaires to reference checks. It's just a very thorough process.
Well, tell me this, Tracy. Is it too late to get involved this year? It's a little less than a month away. If I wanted to be a sponsor or maybe a table host or invite all my closest friends, could I still get involved this late a date?
You actually can. Those sponsorships, which, by the way, which is another key part of GCLA and the CIO of the Year Awards, because this is the CIO's association and it is non-commercial, except in all ways to do with the awards, the only folks who do sponsor the CIO of the Awards must be invited by one of our CIOs, and they typically only invite their very top partners, because this is basically, if you're going to come into their association through the awards, at least one of them is referencing to their peers. This is someone that is a valuable partner. I think it'd be worth your time to spend with them. But sponsorships are sold out. In fact, they've been sold out for quite a while.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But you can still purchase a table. There are still tables available for this year's awards. And the only way to be there is to be a CIO, to be a sponsor, an invited sponsor, or to have a table. There are not individual tickets available, and this event has sold out for the last 4 years. And again, it is we expect it to sell out this year, even though we have grown it by 30%. I will say this, again, as we talked about earlier about how people support each other in this community, there is a ton of interest in being there for this group of CIOs.
I don't think there's a more prestigious event that happens every year and a gathering of 1,000 people. And the who's who, it's like reading a technology superstar magazine and just looking around the room. And some of the folks you named and certainly the Bill Van Curens and the winners from years past and other CIOs, but also it's the senior level of the service provider community. So it's the top of the line. The people who are your benefactors and the one sponsoring are all A-plus service providers. So there's really no one in the room that wouldn't be fascinating to meet.
That's absolutely true. And it is. And again, as I said, these are folks that have been invited. So that if you're there, you are certainly a key provider in the community. And this is, they all bring in their executives. In fact, we have quite a few people flying in from all around.
You told me somebody earlier flying in from,
For instance, Magenic, which is one of our new gold sponsors. Their CEO will be flying in. Cyber will be sending in their folks. Again, those are our gold sponsors. A lot of interest and being there with this group. But frankly, if you think about it, this is the CIO Association. We have over 100 members. And as far as where the CIOs and their direct reports gather, you'll find no larger group than on Friday morning, November 1st in Cobb Galleria.
So what is the website?
It's georgiacio.org, spelling out Georgia.
Georgia, G-E-O-R-G-I-A, C-I-O dot org.
Absolutely.
And you can go in. There's still a very few tables left. The tables are the price of the table?
They're $1,850.
$1,850?
Yeah, $1,850.
Twice the price, it would be a bargain.
That's right.
How could you get a chance to get, you know, that's and it's seats of 10?
Yes, table of 10.
Less than $200 to bring somebody to have a chance to intermingle with this prestigious group of people. That's a bargain.
I agree.
Well, let's see if
we can get a lot of other people. Like I said, they are going very well, which is very exciting. They're going very quickly.
That's very, very exciting. I am tickled to death. Well, let me talk to the CIOs for a minute, Tracy, and then I want to get back together with you towards the end. But, Alan, again, welcome to Booth 61. I know you're a very busy man. You've got a big multi-billion-dollar corporation to take care of. Yet you've taken several hours out of your time today to come here. Why are you here to support GCLA?
Well, like you said, I'm with Ronstadt. It's a large organization, and we've been with GCLA for over 4 years now, and it's a great organization, as we talked about with Tracy already, for Atlanta, for networking, for meeting my peers, for understanding what other people in similar positions are doing in their organizations, and really being able to understand the community and really get a feel for the Atlanta community, as we discussed earlier. It truly brings the top-notch CIOs within Atlanta and all of Georgia into some great networking sessions, and really most of all, Tim Campos and other wonderful speakers to really speak with us and learn about what's going on in the business environment.
I know that GCLA and I personally and Booth 61 are in your debt for you taking this time today. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for being here.
You've been in the IT community for 15-plus years in the Atlanta area. What's different today than when you began your career with Delta Technologies back in, 1995?
So much has changed.
A lot.
So much. It changes every day. What I first think about when I think about the last 15 years, what's really changed is a phrase I like to use called simplification complication. We have simplified the world of building IT systems so much over the last 15 years, but at the same time also made them more complicated by giving more options, by making it such an easy entry for many more people. I think the IT community probably has grown many-fold over these last 15 years and really been something where technology that before was only for the few is now for the many, as we see with an iPhone that does what 15 years ago was a camera, a computer, a Walkman, and other devices, all in one small handheld device. It's unbelievable. And from a very much work perspective, is really getting that technology to what we do in business every day.
There are some big changes, but I like that simplification by complication. I like that. What are some of the major initiatives you currently have on your plate at Randstad?
So right now we're focused in two areas that are our key focus. First off is our website, and really we are redesigning our entire web platform, really building a more mobile application, making sure that mobile is first is kind of our mentality. So we are not just thinking about the person sitting on their computer, but also that mobile tablet user that really wants to do business and work with us directly through that platform. That's one, our web presence. Then also at the same time, we're rolling out all Google applications platform, replacing all of our, Exchange email platform, and really going to the cloud. You've heard people talk about it. We are seeing tremendous advantages out of going to a Google platform. We're about halfway through our rollout and having great success with it and really taking advantage of some of the benefits that the cloud provides.
How many folks on your team out there?
My team is about 200 individuals.
Wow.
Located here in Atlanta, Fort Lauderdale, Boston, and then a few throughout the U.S.
That's a lot of folks to manage. What are you, with the things you've already initiated now, they're keeping you plenty busy and up maybe late at night, but what do the next 15 to 18 months look like for you, and are there some projects that you have in the back of your mind that you're thinking about getting to?
I think our big initiatives for really looking at 14 is around big data and how we can use big data. And we receive information from a multitude of sources and how we can package that to really make the role of our recruiters and our salespeople easier every day, make their jobs, more direct so they understand where they should go sell, where they should go recruit, and really focus on getting the best candidates to our clients as quickly as possible. And that's really our focus. And I think big data, if used properly, can really make that advantage and can really give that to our end users.
I like that, Alan. Yeah, thank you. Biggest challenge in your day-to-day activities? You've talked about migration to the cloud. I'm sure network security is one of everybody's big problems. Finding the right employees, all the above and more. Kind of what are the real stress points in your life?
I would say definitely all of the above. I think about it every day. But if I was to pick one, and I mentioned my team, and I have a really great team of individuals from varied different places as well as different skill sets, and it's really making sure that we bring on the right people, we engage the right people, we keep them motivated, and really focus on achieving the best results. And I think in our day, as executives within our companies, really the people aspect becomes more and more important every day. And that's what I really spend a lot of my time on and also worry a lot about.
Well, it's a tough market today. As someone's in the IT staffing world, there's three or four open positions in Atlanta today for every person that's out there. And it's not a matter of picking and choosing. It's a matter of what can you find and what do you have to give them to get them to leave someplace else, because they're not sitting at home, as I'm sure you and Lee are both finding out every single day. Well, let's shift a little bit. As we've discussed and Tracy was talking about, just being nominated as CIO of the Year is a major honor. Now, you're a finalist. Those 100-and-something folks got winnowed down to 25, and there's only going to be 5 winners, but you're a finalist, which is just fantastic. How does that feel like? And really, talk about the process and what you had to go through to get to become a finalist.
Yeah. It truly is quite an honor. The individuals that are nominated with me in the enterprise category come from great companies and are great individual CIOs that have done some tremendous things. And I'm just honored to really be a part of that group and to be a finalist. The process, as we mentioned earlier, is extremely thorough. I remember many hours filling out a questionnaire and a, sort of an interview questions set that took quite a lot of thought. It was almost like reliving my whole career within one document and making sure that I got the correct points across. So that was quite challenging. That was also followed by a video interview where we were asked some very pointed questions that all the judges would see that really show what drives us, what makes us successful, and what our priorities are. And I think that was also a very interesting piece. And then just the fact that I was nominated by either my peers or a partner of mine or even some of my employees, that as well is very humbling and very interesting. And I feel proud to have built relationships that somebody would nominate me for this prestigious of an award.
Well, obviously, having gone through that process, not only do you have a great appreciation for it, but it should give everyone in the listening audience and everyone at Randstad a great appreciation for you and what you've accomplished, because you've made it through that gauntlet. And congratulations. That is fantastic. Yes. Yes. What's the best way to get a hold of you, Alan, if somebody's listening and wants to give you some advice or ask for some advice, or, you know, there's a few service providers in this community. You may have met a few of them along the way. If they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it? You directly, or assistant, or someone on your procurement staff?
So I would say feel free to reach out to me directly. One of my primary avenues is I use LinkedIn quite heavily. Also, as we're tweeting from here today live, I would say use my Twitter handle as well of Stukalski. And
you notice he doesn't tell you how to spell it.
Yeah. Stukalski, Stukalski. Nice, easy Polish name there for you. And but please, you know, reach out to me directly and be very interested in talking to you.
I do want to give a shout out to Scott Graham, who Randstad, and Jess Jones with Hunter Technical Resources, who are live tweeting and streaming at hashtag Booth61, and I'm sure they're using the hashtags or the at sign for all the individuals sitting around the table today. So we're glad that both of you could take the time to be here with us. Let me turn a little bit over to Lee now. Lee, you are a past winner of CIO of the Year, which again is a great honor, as we've discussed. You've been in the IT community in Atlanta on 3 different occasions. What have been the big changes you've seen as you've come back and forth a time or two?
Getting rid of the punched cards, I thought, was just wonderful. I'm showing my age now, but I really did start on punched cards. I agree with Alan. I think on one hand, we have consumerized IT. We've made it appear a lot simpler than it is with the consumer devices, the phones. It's hard when you're a CIO and you've got SOX requirements and you have 10,000 users and they've all got to be in the same database at the same time. And when you tell your executives what it's going to cost to build an application and they say, well, gee, I just got that on my phone for $4.95. And I think the biggest change I've seen is the demystification of IT. And now the pendulum has almost swung too far the other way, where people really do perceive it oversimplistically and expect too much. And at the same time, we've gone to open systems and stacks and layers, and all this stuff's got to work together perfectly, because when it doesn't, the system goes down. So having said all that, I wouldn't, looking back, I don't think I'd change anything in my career, and I would give my daughters the advice that if you have the bent for it and the interest, I think IT is just an absolutely wonderful field. You know, we had the convergence, the perfect storm in the late 90s of a booming economy, and we had the the internet boom, and then we have Y2K. And if you could spell IT, you could, you know, get a job for $80,000 a year. And by the way, we'll give you a Corvette as a signing bonus. And I that really was happening, you know, in 98 and 99. Unfortunately, then, when the drunk wore off, right, in 2001 and we sobered up, spending was flat. And a lot of people got the idea, outsourcing became prevalent. Everybody got the idea that IT was not a good long-term career. And I think we went through we've gone through about an eight-year period where a lot of bright kids, instead of moving into IT, have moved into the financial industries or other areas. And that's one of the reasons why we have a real shortage of qualified IT people right now. So if you were to ask me what the biggest change is, it's we actually have a negative unemployment rate. To your point, Ricky, we've got a negative unemployment rate for IT in the Atlanta area.
No question. It's, we talk about the unemployment rate being somewhere between 7.5 and 8.5 across the general public, but every CIO I talk to, and I do talk to a lot of CIOs on a regular basis, it is a negative number. And
I think if we sent that 8% to school and taught them the right things, within a year we could get our unemployment rate down to about 2%.
I think you're absolutely right. Lee is the Group Vice President and CIO at Rollins. What are some of the major initiatives that you're currently working on and got your team? And what is the size of your team at this point?
My team is, I've got about 150 FTEs, the bulk of whom are based here in Atlanta. And we're in the process of changing technologies and putting in a new branch operating system for our 500 locations. And we're moving from an iSeries to SQL Server, moving from RPGILE to .NET. So we're changing the technology. We're retraining our people. We've gone outside and brought some folks in. So we've got a major technology change, and we're about ready. We're going to start rolling that out in 2014. So if you ask, well, what are you doing for the next 18 months, it's going to be implementing that system because it's 500 locations. And we're a publicly held company. And I liken it to doing open heart surgery on a stagecoach at a full gallop with a butter knife. It's tough because, you know, we'll do a region or two a month. We don't, you know, you can't just big bang that and put it in. So it's a pretty big transition for folks.
Well, Rollins is a name that not a lot of people know in the Atlanta area, and yet it's one of the great Atlanta companies for all times. But everybody knows the Orkin Man.
That's
or
correct.
Otto Orkin.
That's how
far I go back mentally is to Otto Orkin. But it's been a great family. It's been a great company, and Atlanta's very fortunate to have you. What is the biggest challenge in your day-to-day activities? As I had asked Alan earlier, the migration to the cloud, network security, the employee situation, or something else that I'm not even listing here?
I think that I would rate, as number one, I would rate the employee situation, finding good quality people. We're a conservative company, and we still wear suits and ties, and we go to the office every day. So that makes the recruiting a little tough sometimes with the millennials. So we've just got a very professional, conservative culture that way. And secondly is the CIO paradigm of being required to innovate and come out with the new systems. At the same time, you've got to keep the existing systems running. And some percentage, a large degree of your budget is on the existing systems, and there's not a lot left over to innovate with. And Rollins has been wonderful at funding the innovation at the same time, and we've done a good job of keeping it flat at least over the last 4 years. But we have not had to rob Peter to pay Paul and try to scramble around to find innovation money. Gary Rollins is very committed to having a good investment in technology and having technology that helps our technicians and our salespeople be closer to our customers, and he sees the advantage in that. So I've had a luxury that a lot of CIOs don't have.
Well, Alan is going through the process. You went through the gauntlet and came out the winner on top.
Do you know what my first thought was when they announced me as the winner? Thank God I'll never have to fill out that questionnaire again. Because Alan, I mean, he was not lying. I mean, this is, there's, when you're nominated is just the first step. You're very honored to be nominated, and they send you this questionnaire. And it doesn't seem that tough, but it's probably 5 to 8 hours, not at a block, but I mean, you got to keep working it to answer the questions. And you send it in, and then they announce you're a finalist, and you're thinking, yes, at least I'll get the little plaque. And then the next questionnaire shows up, and this is brutal. This is, I'm serious. As Alan attested, they go back over your whole career and your leadership style and your largest accomplishments, and what would your CEO say are your largest accomplishments? And you need accomplishments, and you need to be honest, because God knows they're probably going to call and check on you, right?
They have to write a letter, actually, the CEO does, yeah, about you.
So I think it's wonderful, because it certainly is not a popularity contest. It's not who has the biggest spend, because the judges are, for the most part, other CIO past award winners and or people from academia. But I don't think there's a vendor on the judging panel that I know of. So,
no.
But it's a real honor. And, you know, Jay Farrow remarked at the finalist reception that we had last month, that I think he was a winner in 2011. Jay won. And he was looking at the category he was in at that time, and he said, my God, I'm so glad I won then. It'd be tough to win this year. And when I looked at the global category, I introduced all of the finalists this year, and I thought the same thing. I thought to myself, my God, I'd be lucky to come in fourth, right? So it is a wonderful honor, and it is the who's who, I think, of Atlanta that not only gets nominated but also makes it as a finalist.
Well, your year was no exception, so I believe that all five of those people were fantastic individuals, and each deserved to win in their own way, mm-hmm. but there's got to be an ultimate winner, and that's what the process is all about. And so congratulations, you know, once again. I want to kind of maybe just throw it open and kind of get your thoughts. We talked a little bit about the CIO of the Year Award dating back to 15 years, but the Lifetime Achievement Award, I believe, is only 3 years old or thereabouts.
This will be our fourth year.
And the winners were in the past?
Well, our very first Lifetime Achievement Award winner, and anyone who knows her will not be the least bit surprised.
It was Gadfly.
Yes, it's Sandy Hoffman. She was first Lifetime Achievement Award winner. Next year, Becky Blaylock. Again, no surprise to anyone who knows Becky. And then last year, Brian Shield, Weather Channel, new CIO, though, now for the Fenway Group for the Boston Red Sox, is last year's Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And this year, for the first time ever, we've announced it early. So that, again, what happened before was the Lifetime Achievement Award winner would be announced on the day of the awards, and they got a big hoopla, but it was just that day. So we are announcing John Cyril, retired, like I said, from GE and now with CDNR, as this year's 2013 Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And by the way, everyone, there will be, the Business Chronicle is doing a special section on us this year for the 15th anniversary. So on October 25th, if you don't have it already, make sure you get out there and subscribe and get the Business Chronicle, because there will be a section on all of our finalists and also quite a big spotlight on John Cyril.
Well, that's fantastic. That is great. Well, last minute thoughts or encouragement you might have for the listening audience as far as making sure, I don't know what else we could say, but I want to encourage those listening, especially those that own companies or in the service provider world, gracious alive, this would be a great opportunity for you to let people know who you are, what you're all about, and a chance to rub shoulders with the who's who in our industry. So, again, it's www.georgiacio.org. But Tracy, Lee, or Alan, anything you'd like to share with our audience before we begin wrapping it up?
I would just like to say please come. I think it's going to be a great event. How can you miss Tim Campos? I'm sure many people are excited just to hear him speak and looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think each of the CIOs are anticipated to have the CIO in four of their direct reports. So, you know, a lot of times CIOs are just figureheads. It's the people that report to us that make all the decisions. So this is an opportunity to meet with the real decision makers. But I just think it's a wonderful opportunity. And I can also say that the food is great. I mean, for a breakfast meal, it's always been a very good meal.
Well, actually, thanks, everybody. Between Ricky and Alan and Lee, I think you guys have said it all. But again, this is, we hope to see you there Friday morning, November 1st. And it is a can't-miss event. I mean, really, if it's there to recognize and celebrate CIOs and their teams. Because also, certainly this is the CIO of the Year Award, but it's certainly going to be a rare if any CIO who doesn't get there without the backing of their team and with their organization. And so it's a celebration of the Georgia IT community in total. So hope to see you there.
Tracy, just one, for someone that's not been to the website yet, would you just share with us who the award finalists are in each category?
Would love to. Okay.
I think everyone will get a kick out of not only hearing these names, but the companies they're affiliated with. Because, again, these people will all be there, friends.
Absolutely. Okay. First off, our global category, Dan Darling, Turner Broadcasting, Lisa McVeigh, McKesson, George Pecola, Graphic Packaging, Karen Renner, Novellus, and John Trainer of Aaron's are our global finalists for CIO of the Year. And for the enterprise category, Vinky Rayo, GE Digital Energy, Alan, whom we've just been hearing all about with Rheinstadt, hey, Joe Serber with AGL Resources, Carrie Wheeler, CBeyond, and Larry White, AMEC. And then in our corporate category, Aaron Aycock, TRX, Robert Bennett, Federal Home Loan Bank of Atlanta, Steve Cover, the Rainmaker Group, Andrew Hamilton, Cardlytics, and Richard Powers of CardioMEMS. And our fourth category is the nonprofit public sector, Jackie Brighter, the Emory-Guizetta School of Business, Debbie Cancilla, Grady Healthcare, Gail Hyde, Habitat for Humanity International, Michael Long, the Georgia Department of Revenue, and Calvin Rhodes, State of Georgia. And I have to say here, guys, too, as you heard, it's a really tough process. You know that it's CIOs who are actually on the judges panel. And all I can say is I work with all of these folks. I've met them all. I've spent a lot of time with them. And I am so happy I'm not on the judging panel because it's a fabulous group of finalists, all of whom are winners. And actually, I feel like I'm in kindergarten. But, yes, they are an incredible group of people, and you absolutely want to be there to wish them well and to see it all happening on November 1st.
Just these 20 names alone would be worth the price of a table.
You are right.
To talk about the past award winners will be there, like Lee and Bill Van Curen and many folks on his staff and others. If I were you out there today or listening next week, I believe I'd call or get on the www.georgiacio.org immediately before it's too late. We're going to run around the table one last time, and we're going to give you one more chance. So the best way to contact you for anyone listening today or as a podcast later on. Tracy?
Okay. It's TracyC at GeorgiaCIO.org, and that's TRACY at GEORGIACIO.org.
And mine is lcrump at Rollins.com. That's LCRUMP at Rollins, ROLLINS.
And mine is Alan, A-L-A-N, dot Stukalski, S-T-U-K-A-L-S-K-Y, at RandstadUSA.com, RandstadUSA.com.
Well, this has been a fantastic show, having the three of you here to talk about business, to talk about what you're doing in your organizations, and then talk about what we're doing as a community at large. And I will not be able to thank you enough for you taking your time, but again, thank you very much, Tracy. Thank you very much, Lee, and thank you very much, Alan. God bless you.
Thank you, Ricky.
This is Ricky Steele, and I've finished my cup of coffee in Booth 61, and I look forward to seeing many of you on November 1st at the Cobb Galleria, where Booth 61 will be broadcasting live during the CIO of the Year event. So I hope we'll see many of you there. I hope you'll come back and join me next week for a fresh cup in Booth 61 or by listening to any of the past shows at Booth 61 with Ricky Steele. I always close our time together by sharing a blessing for you, your family, and your business. The blessing comes from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for dropping in, and I look forward to seeing you soon in Booth 61.